Hello.
Hello. Hello, Burgess. How are you doing?
Well, how are you?
Yeah, fantastic.
Well,
Thank you.
thanks for having us, Clive.
Yeah, pleasure. Hello, Saeed.
Said should be there. We were just talking on, so yeah. Oh, he's
Good,
there?
man.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Hi, Clive.
Excellent. Hi there. Nice to see you.
Hi, Vicky.
No, it's Fluff.
Hi, Vicky.
Oh, it's Fluff.
Hi.
Hey, how's it going?
I'm good. How are you?
Good, good.
Amazing to
Wow.
see you.
It's great to
Yeah,
see
you as
you.
well. Thanks
I'm
for
sorry
having
to confuse
us.
you, but you had like our meeting was so brief and we met so many people that
I know.
bit of
Same.
yeah.
Yeah, it's okay. But I was with Vicky and Clive. We were all three of us together, and we met
Yeah.
us separately. So.
You got a new hair color now. You got the natural
I think
hair.
it's called a long winter in England.
So I haven't been trying the product, but Fluff has.
I've been doing the pine what's it called?
I love the pine cone, ponderosa.
Yeah, the liquid.
The
Yeah,
liquid,
the
yeah,
tincture.
and the first time I tried it was with you at the conference, and I felt like, wow, what's that? Amazing. So we got some, and I've continued to use it, and it's the same effect every time. I'm like, whoa, I feel like there's an aliveness that really enters me. And I've been having like tooth problems. I started putting it on my teeth and pulling with it through
Yeah,
the teeth.
like
And
oil
that
pulling.
feels amazing as well.
Really?
Wow.
That's a cool tip. Yeah.
That's a cool tip. Yeah, I have to try that myself.
Really good. And then I've also been doing the turkey tail,
Oh, nice. Yeah.
which you very kindly offered me
That
because
one is
that's.
so underestimated. Like, it's just, I think there's just not enough information about it, but it's like the most underrated tincture out there. I think it's just got so many medicinal benefits to it. So, yeah, I'm
Yeah.
glad you're taking it.
Yeah, and that also feels I feel comforted taking
Yeah,
the turkey
so
tail.
that's, yeah, it's got that fluff on it too,
I
right?
don't know if that makes any sense, but I
Oh.
feel like it's my friend and I'm really glad to have it.
When we were in Germany this a couple of weeks ago, that we found out that it's a regulated product in Germany, and it's like basically illegal. You're not supposed to sell it. And we had samples, you know, so everybody was like, hit me, I want that.
I'll
Yeah.
bet. It's
Yeah, we
great.
were
But
joking
it's
around
great.
that we had for contraband, like illegal substances at this
It's the same thing on Google too. You can't advertise turkey tail on Google ads.
Really? In
It's
that must be
it's
that's
a
a
drug
good
term.
sign.
It's a
It
in US
means
it's a drug term. Yeah.
it's really
Yeah.
good.
Yeah, how I
And
can tell that they're really good is that they brought it back from Las Vegas and didn't give me any, didn't even tell me.
oh boy.
Sorry.
Don't worry, Clive,
It's
we'll
true.
send
It's
you.
true. You kind of feel like it's fine. I don't want to share with anyone.
Yeah. But Clive, you now have your own supply.
It hasn't arrived, unfortunately. I've been
Yeah, I'll
oh,
wait.
you're waiting for it. You're still waiting for
it should arrive.
Very
Yeah.
exciting.
Exciting,
It's
yeah.
good. It's in the warehouse, it's just not with me.
We'll send you your own turkey tail as well. We'll send you a couple of.
Well, we'll send you
Yeah.
one of each
Please.
tincture. We'll send you one lion's mane, turkey tail, yeah,
Love
chaga.
that. I'd love
And we
that.
just got exciting. We just got cordyceps and we got
Okay.
Mataki's coming tomorrow.
I've not
So,
heard of that.
yeah, so we got actually a bunch of mushrooms already mixed up that we harvested from last year, and they're like artist conch, red-belted polypore, a bunch of other kind of mushrooms that aren't quite as like well known, but we'll do a complex mushroom blend with all those. So
and birch polypore, that's my favorite one.
Which one?
Birch the birch polypore.
I've not heard of that either.
So,
am I right in thinking that the
corn is good personal experience with that? It's one of the First Nation elders offered me a sample before I was going on a solo kayak trip, and he said, you know, you make sure you shave a little bit of this each time you're camping and burn it, because this is what we've been carrying with us, and the bears actually know the smell and they don't come around the camp.
Wow, interesting.
Yeah, but and it's the one that was found on the Iceman, the remains of the Iceman that they found. So
which one is this?
This is I'm having.
I thought it was hoof conch. That's another thing.
Hoof conch is another one. Yeah, hoof conch is
chaga, and for all. Yeah, I mean
chaga.
Yeah, but I might be wrong about that.
It's Formiptosis betulina.
Is it a red cap?
It's a
I think it's whitish.
Polypore, yeah. It's a white polypore, upside down.
It's a little bit marshmallowy.
It's yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, mushrooms is a big world and there's so many of them, right?
I'd love to come out and visit you guys.
Oh, come out. We're harvesting here in May, so you know what? Any time between May and June, we usually end our harvest around solstice. Yeah, it starts the beginning of May. I don't know what this year is going to bring. I don't know how the temperature has been in your neck of the woods, but it's been unseasonably warm here. But as I say that, we're getting snow right now. So, like, it's such a strange year. So,
yeah, it's all changing big time.
Yeah, it is. Yeah.
Yeah, as we.
Yeah, this year, I am optimistically worried that there might be less pollen on trees because of how dry it's been. Uh-huh. But we had a warm spell like this 2 years ago, and it was hard picking.
I remember you saying, actually.
Yeah, we didn't get any ponderosa. And then the lodgepole we got was a little bit more sparse than previous years. So, I mean, that's what happens when you're farming, I guess. You get what you can when it's available. It doesn't matter. Yeah. And you know what? You just do the best you can do. And I mean, that's another thing about our product, is just the scarcity and its limited supply. I mean, it's not like there's an endless supply of it. And even for us, like, it's a huge investment to do the harvest. So we can't go out and gather way more than we need and have it sit there, because we also like to sell it fresh each year, right? Like, we really want to make sure that all of our reserves are gone within the year, so we have a new batch coming in the next year. But yeah.
Well, I believe all this healing, all these healing modalities and products and nature gifts of medicine, all that is for healing. Yeah. But
yeah,
at some point we're going to be whole.
Yeah, exactly. And nature's the best pharmacist, I feel like.
So you won't need an endless supply, because we won't need it.
That's right.
I'm sure you got some questions.
I went pine pollen collecting some years ago, not knowing what type of pine I was collecting. I just went out looking for one and put a big bag around it and shook it. Is that how you collect it, or how do you? I mean, I know you're looking for specific trees, but how do you collect it? Is it as simple as putting a bag around a tree and shaking it?
No, well, I mean, you can, but I mean, if you're getting small amounts, I mean, that's a good way to do it. But for us, because we're doing it in such large scale, and if you go to a tree as it's pollinating, it pollinates in stages, right? So the tips will dry, they'll pollinate, and then it might take a couple more days for the rest of the pollen to release in the rest of the bud. So by doing that and shaking the tree with a bag on it, you're going to get a part of the pollen that's inside the bud, and you're only going to get a certain amount. And as you're shaking the tree, you're going to notice that lots of other pollen is going into the environment the same way. So it's not really efficient and effective, but it's probably the most, it's probably the easiest way to do it if you're just doing it for yourself for a small amount. But what we do is we scout an area and we find it when it's like a day or two before it'd be ready to pollinate naturally. And then we have the guys go out and pick the buds that grow off the trees, the catkins, and then they're placed on drying racks in basically a controlled environment. So the first few years that we did it, we were in the field and we had drying stations basically set up in the field. And it was basically a greenhouse and we had a bunch of wooden drying racks. And then at night, because we were high elevations, we had heat coming into the greenhouse just to make sure that we were getting everything dry enough. And the speed times were, you know, most effective. And then, yeah, you'll just notice that the buds will start releasing the pollen naturally without having any interactions with the environment, like the wind taking it or rain or anything like that. Mm. So then, yeah. So then from there, basically, you can just kind of naturally the pollen kind of separates from the husks and the buds, and you know, you can kind of bang it out. And we've gotten some proprietary techniques now for like what we use as a vacuum, and it kind of in a way separates more of the pollen from the husk and discards the husks and gets more pollen from it. So that's helped us out with our yields a bit. But basically that's the way we do it, is just making sure. And it's just, once you're familiar with an area, you can kind of go and start at a lower elevation and then just climb elevation. One thing we found is more so than north-south of the pollination times is more elevation. Like you'll find that if you're in a specific area and you go a couple hundred meters higher up, you'll find that you still got like, oh, this isn't ready for another week. So that's more effective than going, you know, 300 kilometers north and expecting the same difference, because different areas.
We've gone the 300 kilometers north and we haven't found them.
Yeah, exactly. So. It's about finding different microclimates with good elevations and kind of sticking to those areas and just maximizing the height, the elevations.
Wow.
And what's the difference between the ponderosa and the lodge pine?
Well, you know, it really comes down to, you know, there's different energies. They're different plants altogether. If you look at the tree, you'll notice that the ponderosa is a large tree that really likes lower elevations, heat, and really not much competition from other trees. And you'll find the ones that strive, that have the biggest buds, are exposed to a lot of sunshine, and they really like their independence. The lodgepole is generally a smaller tree, and you'll find them the more thick forests, and they'll be, the colors of the buds are quite a bit different. Like the lodgepole has a multicolor type of bud. Some are green, some are purple, some are nice maroon color, but generally the ponderosa is a variation of burgundy and maroon colors, so it's really the red color. So you know, that's kind of like the holistic side of things. But from our studies, like nutritionally, they're very similar. So if you're going to take the minerals, the vitamins in there, the amino acids, they're very similar. But we have tested the amount of hormones and antioxidants in there as well. We find that the ponderosa has about 15% to 20% higher androgen content across the board, but the lodgepole has a higher antioxidant. There's some other fringe compounds in there that even we don't really know too much about that are higher. So basically it really depends on the individual. We like to keep them separate because over time, if you're consuming this product, having the ability to go back and forth between the two is generally, like, it's a best case scenario for not giving your body too much time to get used to one. And it's, you know, you just want to make sure that you have a little bit of variation in your diet to have the most effective dosing. So that's what we find is like the nice solution between having both varieties available. And then, yeah, what I recommend generally is try both and just see how you react to each. Generally, some people resonate with one more than the other. There's another thing too, like if you look at it and you believe in the doctorate of signature, again, this is more on the holistic side. The lodgepole looks a lot more phallic, you know, it looks more like a penis, and the ponderosa looks a little bit more like a flower that would probably a little bit more feminine. So, you know, we have some people that really resonate with that as well. So, yeah, we've had men test their free testosterone after taking both. And I've had, even though that there's higher androgen content in the ponderosa, there's people said that the lodgepole has been more effective for them. So, you know, there's a lot of, I wouldn't say mixed information. There's still a lot of learning on our end to figure out what these different compounds are and how they're effective and why they might be better for different people. But generally, you know, it's no matter what, both are good for everybody across the board. So that's
The other things about the lodgepole, that's because of our processing, it gets more of the propolis, the resin from the plant in it as well. The tips that we harvest. For ponderosa, we only take the smaller buds, the cones only. With lodgepole, we take the tip.
The buds. Yeah.
So the ending of the branch has resin, which is propolis essentially, when it dries up in the process of drying, and then as we use the vacuum and sifting, there's more resin that comes along with it. So the deficiencies of lodgepole in hormones make up with the propolis that comes with it in some ways, if anything. But 20 about 20% lower in testosterone, DHEA, similar, progesterone, however, they're similar. They're not, too different. And also, like, you know, when we started the company, we were a one product company. So we kept them separate because they came in at different times of harvest, right? So ponderosa comes in first, then lodgepole comes next. So we kept them separate batches and separate SKUs.
So how many people will notice an effect? Is it always positive? And how long does it take for the average person to notice an effect?
Yeah.
In my opinion, you can go, Saeed.
Yeah. So it really depends on like what their starting point is. If you're having someone who is in, let's say, menopausal symptoms, early stages of it, where that estrogen dominance is kicking in, and you need to match it with some progesterone and testosterone to overcome, then within a couple of weeks, the adverse effects of the menopause goes away. If you're an athlete that is pushing, iron in the gym, Then same thing, within a couple of weeks, like it can be a good pre-workout. We've had it called the pre-workout, the youth syrup for some people, right? Some of the reviews we get. But then when you're later on, let's say, prostate enlargement has set in, or when morning erections, for example, have been lost in men, or when menopause has gone so far as there is dryness of vaginal dryness and difficulty, you know, and irritation, then that's like an end stage of like things have gone for such a long time. So you expect to see improvements within a couple of, I would say, weeks, but at a higher dose. So that's the range that we got for the tincture is up to 12 milliliters a day. So if you do 12 milliliters a day, you definitely notice an impact within 2 weeks. That's
12 mil is probably 2 tablespoonfuls, maybe.
Yeah, 2 tablespoonfuls.
Oh, that's a lot.
That's a lot, right? But then the lowest dose that we got is 2.5 milliliters.
Right.
Right? So it's a big range of dosing and a big range of starting points for patients and people that's the age range that uses it. I simplify it's the understanding to, you know, wherever you are, it basically helps you operate as if you're 5 years younger, with that same stamina recovery. It's not really like a magic wand, but at the same time, it is a magic wand, because compared to everything else that nature offers that can do this, it is as magical as it gets.
Yeah.
And the extraction, yeah. Is it water extraction, alcohol extraction?
Both. It's a dual extract. Yeah. So we use the alcohol extraction first. So we use an organic grape seed, organic sugar cane. And then we also actually recently got some, we've been working with this distillery on Vancouver Island who makes spirits from honey. So that's been pretty cool. But yeah, that's the alcohol we use. It sits in there for about a month and then it gets agitated probably once a week. So what happens is the alcohol extracts the majority of the compounds from the pine pollen while sitting in that alcohol for about a month. And then we press out that alcohol. And with that remaining pollen that we have there, the dried stuff that's been pressed, it goes into our, we have an ultrasonic extraction machine. So it goes into the first tank that has those ultrasonic rods. And we combine that with water. And about, I don't know, I would say about, yeah, I don't know, I guess maybe 5% or less of glycerin. And what the glycerin does, it takes a lot of the tannins out of it and also helps the preserving it as well a little bit. And even though alcohol is a great preservative, and it also helps the alcohol from evaporating. So those things all combined, it kind of gives it a wider spectrum of nutrients that's absorbed into that tincture. So then it goes through the process of getting under those ultrasonic rods for about 24 hours. And then what we do is that same process will filter the water from that. And it's basically essentially a tea. And then it goes into the second tank we have, which is a concentration tank. So we'll evaporate all that water out of it. And then what we'll end up with is like this very concentrated, you know, formulation of the last little bit, which gets added back into the alcohol. And then that's the tincture. So.
And if you're drinking 2 tablespoonfuls, is somebody going to feel the alcohol effect?
I mean, you could, but I mean, I don't think so myself. Generally, I can't speak on behalf of anyone. I don't think I drink overly, so I don't think I'm very sensitive to, like, I don't think I don't have much of a sensitivity to it. But yeah, I think 2 tablespoons, what I really recommend is, and I mean, everybody likes to take it differently, but I like to kind of do is just swish it around my mouth, because the idea for the alcohol extract is the delivery system, right? You're bypassing digestion and it's going through your mucous membranes in your mouth, under your tongue, especially through your throat and into your stomach. So it's really getting into those pores and being absorbed directly into your bloodstream by bypassing all those other avenues into your bloodstream. So by having as much contact as possible with your pores before it goes into your stomach, you're really going to get a higher efficiency of those things. So you're going to get a better, you're going to get more out of your product by doing that. So I like to leave it in my mouth. Obviously, if you leave it in your mouth a long time, just sitting there, it'll probably irritate your gums after a while. But if you swish it around, your body produces a little bit of saliva as well, which is also going to help with the absorption. And I leave it in my mouth until I feel like the alcohol lost its bite. And once that has lost its bite, I feel like all the alcohol is basically kind of got into your mouth, whatnot, or it's been absorbed into your body for the most part. And then I swallow down the rest of it. Do you feel the effects of the alcohol? I think some people would.
It really depends, again, how sensitive you are to the alcohol. If you take 2 teaspoons of alcohol, a majority of people will feel it. Yeah. It's 40% alcohol, whether you like it or not. That's, a 10 mil, like it's a shot of 40% alcohol is a shot of, spirit. You will feel it. But it's not meant to be taken at that dose. Like someone that's come to that point, likely you would.
I can put back to
augment that and make that like work with other herbs as well, right? So you would synergize it with if you're taking pine pollen, for example, to see an impact at that level, maybe adding a little bit of saffron or adding a little bit of nutmeg to that mix, or maca or other yin tonics to actually help the root chakras and the energies along with the pine pollen. But but you will definitely notice an impact if you're taking 2 teaspoons a day. You will notice an impact within a couple of weeks, and it might even be like a subtle thing. Depends on how aware and in tune you are with your body. It might be a subtle thing. As I took it for 2 weeks, I didn't notice anything, but ever since I didn't take it, I'm not the same. I want it back in my system, because it's like for the first thing I noticed in my system was my sleep was more regenerative. Mm-hmm. I could get away with less number of hours. I've always needed a good 8 to 9 hours, and the more I use my brain, the more I need it. And the more especially if I'm doing something creative, I'm going to go into a more deeper sleep needs. It was able to shave off a good half an hour for me within the first couple of weeks. I started taking the pollen. This was before we were making the tincture. This was just adding it to morning teas. So it's a relative curve in terms of dosing, but and one thing is the tincture. One of the other things about the second extraction is and the glycerin background. The second extraction, the first tank that Burgess mentioned, that this pulp after alcohol goes into, it has ultrasonic rods, and the ultrasonic rods can break off more of the complex sugars, the polysaccharides, off the shell walls, because the walls are really tight and they got like these sugars, but they also have like auxins in there that are like keeping it really hard to digestion. And as pollen consumption goes, 60% of it we digest, but the rest of it the bugs digest. We don't even get it. So these ultrasonic rods are knocking out those polysaccharides, but the glycerin is also making the auxin a little bit more soluble, because auxin doesn't like being dissolved in water or in alcohol. It's it doesn't like the polarity of it. With some of the aspects of the traditional like gemotherapies, where they use glycerin as getting the energetics of of the growing bud, because the growing bud has a lot of hormones in it, right? And these hormones, generally speaking, dissolve better in glycerin. So it captures that too, which is a cool process. And we're now applying that to the mushrooms. Mushrooms traditionally were, you know, we all like it was always known that a dual extraction is better on mushrooms because they got so much of these sugars that they don't come out. Pollen is the same thing. Some of the studies done on like its gut health and its impact on immune, it starts with the gut, with the polysaccharides.
I'm making some tinctures using water extraction and alcohol extraction. Somebody suggested red wine, and so I tipped a bottle of red wine in there, and the smell throughout the house, it had become Christmas. The smell was just outrageously good.
Well, that's a cool idea.
Yeah, try it. With the glycerin, does that mean the tincture is a bit sweet?
Yeah, it adds a little, like, you know, it takes the edge off the alcohol, I find. It does give it a little bit of a sweet taste. Yeah, I think that's another benefit of it. I mean,
obviously,
yeah, I mean, it just makes it, yeah. I mean, you know what? I would say the biggest criticism we have about our tinctures would be that they're strong in the alcohol. I think that glycerin really helps it. And, you know, just to reiterate why we use alcohol and why we prefer alcohol as basically the way we extract stuff is it really comes down to three things. Is as a preservative, there's nothing you can beat it. So, I mean, it's shelf stable. It's the best way to extract those compounds from the product. Like there's no better way to get the wider range of, you know, medicinal compounds from the product out of it with using alcohol. And then the delivery system, like we were mentioning, to get it into your system and bypass digestion by using the alcohol, it has the means of going through your pores. So, I mean, for those three reasons, that's why, you know, with all the stigma around alcohol and it not being good for you and all this kind of stuff, and you don't think of it, but, you know, you can think about anything in moderation will be good for you. It's anything when you abuse it, it's going to be a little bit, you know, not good for you. But
when the doctor prescribes it, it's good for you, be it wine or be it, you know, a tincture. But alcohol is a controversial one for a delivery system, but it's been the ancient way of delivering because it's tested and true. There are different ways to deliver it too. The powder would be another way, just, you know, just to take the raw powder.
Yeah, and the powder is effective. It just goes through the digestive process, which means you just need more of it. You know, you just need to consume a larger dose than you would the tincture. And it would take a little bit longer to absorb into your body opposed to the tincture. Like you taking the tincture, I think you'll get an immediate response. Like you'll notice right away. You take the powder, it's more of a gradual thing. Like I think you'd notice throughout the day that your energy is better and it'll probably be a little bit more subtle. But it's definitely there. I take the powder regularly myself too, and I definitely notice when I'm taking it. And, you know, to jump back, Clive, to just, you know, mention on, you know, how many people you think would notice when they start taking this the tinctures, whether they're going to notice. Like, I would say generally from the feedback from customers and whatnot, I would say it's about 80%. And I would say on the low end, I would say generally most people, like Saeed mentioned, they have a better quality sleep. And I think that their sense of well-being is always elevated. Like I've talked to people and say, you know what, I'm going to wait a little bit more, but no matter what, I just feel like I've been in a better mood. You know what? That's one thing for sure that I could say that generally 80% of the population that take this product generally say. And then from there, it just goes up. Like I think a lot of people have a lot of individual stories about why it's been so beneficial for them. And, you know, I think pine pollen contains certain compounds that we're not getting from our everyday diet. So it gives us the building blocks to be able to heal whatever's ailing us in specific areas. So everybody's different. So it's going to affect everybody different for different reasons. But, you know, another good thing to do is even just check our website and go on to our reviews. And, you know, that's pretty encouraging to see how people have been using it to supplement and, you know, use that as a medicine for different reasons. So it's a wide range of different things that people have benefited by taking it. So it's hard to go over everything.
Well, excellent. So the products are going to be on our website, clivedecarle.com. I think they're there now, actually. So the people who are excited about this can buy it. And I'm so looking forward to trying it. With the alcohol question, of course, half the population of the world have been rubbing alcohol laced with all sorts of dangerous chemicals right into their skin through hand sanitizers. I mean, if that's not...
Yeah, yeah, that's a good one. I don't know, like that's...
Yeah, that's never... actually an awesome one because, like, is it the triclosan, is that what it's called? That they used for sanitizers in the hospital settings, and then since the whole sanitizer craze, it became one of the more sold varieties, and it's a hormone disruptor. You know, like it's one of the main reasons, or what, one of the many reasons that some of these age-related hormone changes start from the hormone disruptors and what they're doing. And hand sanitizers, plastic, you name it. That is crazy.
Yeah, yeah, it contributes to an accumulation of estrogens that, you know, are in your body that, you know, yeah, that's... pandemic I think we have throughout society right now.
Sure. Plastic water.
Yeah, I've actually watched one of your, I think, introductory videos, and I really liked the fact that you're a rebel in the medical field, and also the other than your cool, calm energy, the educational component that you bring into to products, but also your your followers.
Well, you know, one tries. I had a weird experience a while back. I was in town, and this guy started talking to me, and I told him who I was, and he literally said, "I'm a doctor," and ran. Literally.
Yeah.
Didn't see that coming. So, I mean, we could question you about the benefits of turkey tail and the benefits of everything, but what I'd like to do, if it's good, is to end it here before they fall asleep. No, they wouldn't do that. And to another one specifically, for instance, on the other products, if that's good with you.
Yeah, that's a fantastic idea. Yeah. And I think that's a great idea, because I think each individual product deserves enough time to really be explored. So trying to cram anything in one session might be a little bit, do it injustice. So great idea.
Can I ask one more little question?
Absolutely.
The alcohol, where does it come from, and is it organic?
Yeah, yeah. So we get organic cane sugar alcohol, and the source of it is Greenfield.
It's South Africa.
Greenfield. South Africa. Yeah. Yeah. And then I was mentioning before, we're sourcing also another type of alcohol.
Honey.
It's a honey spirit from Vancouver Island. So that's really cool. Like, it's a, you know, that's as natural as you're going to get. So we've met, you know, just.
Is it called mead there, the honey alcohol?
It's not mead. It's an actual spirit. Like, mead is more like a beer in a way, but like, I could be wrong, but.
It's like a very sweet, thick wine mead.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's distilled. It's distilled to be 98% alcohol.
Wow.
Yeah,
I have no idea you can do that with honey.
That's so good.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think they make mead, and they make their honey wine from it, but they have an excess supply, so they they go we down.
Can, yeah, we could provide you a link to their website. Really good guy. It's called Wayward Distilleries on Vancouver Island. So Wayward Distilleries, but yeah.
Name is
yeah. Is a palm. He uses Wayward our. He uses our spruce tips to make a gin, so that's pretty cool. And I met him actually probably 5-6 years back. The government of British Columbia put on this trade expedition, and we went to Seattle, and he was part of it. So we're both in early stages of our business, and you know, kind of like just we ended up contacting each other again for specific reasons. I was in the search for some alcohol. He was in the search for some spruce. So it was kind of serendipitous that we connected again. And yeah, so that's how that
love
happened.
It.
So,
love it.
Yeah.
Well, excellent. So thank you both very, very much. I'm so looking forward to trying the products, and we'll speak again very soon.
Yeah, thanks for taking time to talk to us.
Really, really interesting. Thank
great,
you.
Great meeting you in the cloud for the first time, in present time. Even though it's late evening there, in present time.
It's not so late. But,
all right. Yeah.
Good to see you.
Yeah. All the best.
See you soon. Awesome.
Thanks, guys.
Bye.
Bye.